At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to Activate Yourself with Gita Sidhu-Rab, where we feature otherwise normal people who, because of events in their life, have turned left and done unusual, inspiring, incredible things, like build a business, become a happiness expert, marry a prince, create an empire, or like your host, set up a health and wellness business, Nosh Detox. Here's your host, Gita Sidhu-Rab.
My name is Gita Sidhu-Rab, and this is Activate Yourself. What do we talk about on the show? We always, always, always are trying to find people that are going to inspire you to dig deep into the wells of health and inspiration and wellness that exist inside yourself, because you have the most power when you align with the power that's inside you. And today's guest is no exception. Only today's guest is one of the rare men that we actually have on the show, because it's an interesting story. He's an interesting man. And we will have so much that we will learn from the stuff that he's going to tell us about what he's gone through in his life. So I'd like to welcome Chris Terzakos. Did I say that right? Terzakos. I did.
You did. Thank you. Thank you for having me on your show. Thank you.
It's so wonderful to welcome you. Can we just start with the concept of self-healing and working with your hormones? Because you had a hernia, right? And in theory, the only way to deal with a hernia is to go and have surgery.
Exactly.
And what did you do that was not?
So my story goes back 14 years ago. I got a hernia, went to a conventional doctor. And first thing the doctor said is, you got a hernia. You got to do surgery. We'll set you up for surgery next week. So I turned around and I said to him, I said, let me think about it. I went home, make a long story short. I said to myself, I'm going to find a way to self-heal from the hernia.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. So a hernia, it breaks all the layers of the skin. So you do have a bulge. My steps that I wrote in my book, I first started doing a lot of research. Through research, I started taking Epsom salt baths every day. Okay. Epsom salt will reduce the inflammation and reduce the bulge size. I'm not overweight, but I wanted to just drop some weight, just to, get rid of the complications or if there was any pain. If you're overweight, you'll have some pain because it puts pressure on the hernia. So Epsom salt baths was my first step. I did it for about 30 to 40 days straight.
How did you feel after those 30 days?
Oh my God. It was the best thing I ever did.
Oh, how many? Okay. Wait. We need details. How much Epsom salts did you put in a bath?
I would say I put like maybe 2 or 3 scoops into the tub. It was a hot tub. It wasn't cold water. It was hot. So I put the Epsom salt baths for about 30, 35 days, and I kept massaging. Okay. I took this oil that I use, right? And I kept massaging down. It's essential oils. Yeah. Only to relax the muscles around it.
Yeah.
And the hernia. Now, when you massage around the hernia, muscles around it, all muscles like to be massaged. I mean, everybody knows that. So the muscles that surround the hernia, when you massage them, you strengthen them. And by strengthening the muscle around the hernia, it will suppress the lump that protrudes past your skin. You'll notice your lump starts to go inside on its own. It's like a training period. It's like training a dog. It's training yourself, different things. This is training the hernia of where it belongs. And it belongs inside your body, not outside your body. So I kept doing a lot of massaging. I also wore a hernia belt. It's called a truss, T-R-U-S-S.
Yes.
Okay. So I wore a hernia belt for about the same, about 30 to 40 days straight. And every time I would wake up in the morning, I put the belt on to the moment I went to sleep at night. So I wore it for maybe 18 hours a day. And believe me, it worked. So the Epsom salt baths, the massaging, wearing the hernia belt, it was working. The system was actually working. So today, 14 years later, I'm 65. I got the hernia when I was 52. You don't even know I have a hernia now. You know, the hole closed a little bit. The hernia at one time was the size of maybe a baseball.
Yeah.
And now it's the size of a marble. That small from self-healing.
That's so you never needed the operation.
According to the doctor, he said, yeah, you need surgery. According to me, nah, I don't need surgery. I live a normal life. I go to a gym every day. When I go to the gym, just so your audience understands, me, just for safety reasons, I put the hernia belt on as I'm exercising. Once I'm done exercising, I take the belt off. I don't need the belt all day long. I live a normal life, like I said.
Did you do, because you're quite knowledgeable also about hormones and how they function. Did you do some of this research during this period of time?
I did. I do a lot of research on everything. Yeah, I do. Yeah. I did. One of the other things that I do every morning, which is really good for you, I eat chopped up ginger every morning. I take like a teaspoon or a tablespoon. I eat it with a couple of pineapples. What it does is it's anti-inflammatory. It increases your serotonin, increases your blood flow, which is good for everybody. It's good for gut health, and it increases testosterone. So I eat ginger every single morning after I drink homemade aloe vera. Now, everybody should be drinking aloe vera.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, the benefits of aloe vera. Let me tell you what they are. Detoxification, antioxidant, anti-aging, reduces inflammation. It protects the cells in the body from any radicals. It's good for digestive health, vitamin C, and skin health.
So what is, then let's take a step back. What is your morning routine?
First thing in the morning? Well, first, I fast. I fast for about 14 to 16 hours.
Yeah.
My last meal at night is about 5:30, 6 o'clock the latest. In the morning, the first thing in my body, I put 1 8-ounce or 10-ounce glass of homemade aloe vera. That's the first thing in my body in the morning. Then I wait. I work from home. I'm semi-retired. So I wait about 2 hours, and then I start my breakfast. Everything that I eat first thing in the morning is loaded with protein, whether it's eggs. You know, I eat the egg yolks because egg yolks are good for hormones. I eat oatmeal. Oatmeal has protein in it. I eat protein pancakes. So everything I eat first thing in the morning is loaded with protein.
Right. And did you find that changed when you got ill to when you got better, that diet? What were you eating before? Or is it the same?
No, it was always the same. I've been an athlete all my life. I nearly became a professional baseball player. It didn't happen. But I always was in fitness. I'm still in fitness. I have a body of a 30-year-old. I still have a six-pack. I watch all the food that I eat. There's no sugar in my house. Sugar increases insulin. Insulin is related to stress and cortisol, which is part of the hormones. So I watch what I eat. What you eat will affect the brain. And then the brain sends messages to all the receptors in the body. So you want good food, good fats, to send positive receptors to throughout the cells of your body.
Yeah, no, I can imagine that. And when you say homemade aloe vera, what does that mean? How is it homemade?
Homemade aloe vera. Well, they sell aloe vera in the store. Yeah. I recommend don't buy it because they put ingredients in there that's not good for you. what I do is I buy two leaves. You go to a supermarket. I shop at Whole Foods because I'm 100% organic. I buy two leaves. I chop it up. I put it in a 1 gallon jar. I put them all in there. I fill it up with water, not water from the sink, obviously, or not water from a plastic container, because that has toxins. And those toxins actually are bad for hormones. So I chop up two leaves, put them in a 1 gallon empty jar, fill it with water, shake it up, put it in the refrigerator for a day. All the aloe vera will seep into the water. Okay. And then the next day, after it's ready, you shake it up a little bit. And then you start drinking your aloe vera first thing in the morning. Wow, what a great, great, great thing that I do. It's great. And I recommend it for you. I recommend it for everybody. The whole world should be drinking aloe vera.
When
a lot
did
of benefits.
You start doing that?
I've been doing that now for about 5-6 years.
And what did you notice when you first started as the benefits?
My skin.
Oh.
My skin, yeah. I don't have hardly any wrinkles. I'm 65. I don't have hardly any wrinkles. I feel healthy. I have nothing going on with my gut. I got perfect gut health. You'll see a difference. I'll tell you when. In about 2 to 3 weeks, you start feeling a difference when drinking aloe vera.
Oh, I love that. That's definitely good. Okay, we're going to go for a quick break and then we'll come back.
Great. Thank you.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So, welcome back. I know that you have been very focused on self-healing and making your life work better. To me, this a lot of the work around this is really emotional. It has to be. Because when someone comes to you, we worked with cancer patients that were end of life for around 5 years. And we had about 5 people come in a week who had been told, you've got 4 weeks to live, you've got 10 weeks to live, you've got 3 months, 6 months to live. And I always find it very interesting speaking to them that the people that were going to survive with a good quality of life was always the emotional state that took you to that place. What would you say for you? What is it that made you think, but I can heal myself?
The first thing is acceptance. Whatever you face with in life, you have to accept now that you have this. That's the first step. The second step for me is positive mindset. So whatever you're faced up against, try to think positive. Every day you wake up, think, you know, whatever your mission is or whatever your goals are, have a positive mindset that you're going to reach those goals. So, you know, that was the beginning of all my self-healing that I did, was acceptance and positive mindset.
So talk to me a little bit about acceptance, because one of the things with women we really struggle with as a sex is that we put up with a lot of shit and we just accept putting it up with it because we are natural nurturers and caretakers. And so it is a very good way to get taken advantage of, you know, by family and friends and kids. What is the difference between being walked over and accepting? What do you mean by acceptance in that context?
Well, yeah, whatever's going on in your life, you accept it. And after acceptance, you need to make changes, positive changes for you. You got to make positive changes for you. So once you accept what's going on around you or your illness, now it's time to make positive changes, because those positive changes starts with self-love.
Yeah, because self-love, I think, is the core for almost everything, because it's self-love is made up of self-respect, self-esteem, self-belief, self-worth. But what made you decide that you were relevant, that you were important, that you mattered?
From going through so many adversities in life, you know, yep. you know, dealing with people, family members, you know, just being resilient, you know, getting back up. What every time I fell down, I got back up. And that's when I started saying, you know what, self-love, I gotta love myself, because I always put other people first before me. So and now I don't. I put me first, and now I can help you, or I can love you, but I need to love myself first. And there's no greater love than loving yourself. There's no greater. Oh,
I agree. And what do you do when you have bad days? Because like I remember, I woke up this morning and I'm jet lagged, so I'm tired. And I woke up and I thought, I feel a bit sad. And I thought, that's really funny. It's never... it's not a sense I have very often. It's not a common thing. But what do you, everybody has that. The days that are good, the days that are bad. How do you live yourself?
Okay. I'm glad you asked that question. That's a good question. So there's a video on my website that I did. And we talk about having a bad day. Uh-huh. Having a bad day is a choice. Uh-huh. In that video that I did on my website, everyone can see it. Having a bad day is a choice. Having a bad moment, I understand. So I transformed from years ago, I'm having a bad day, you know, you throw your hands up. But guess what? Today, I'm just having a bad moment. I'm not having a bad day, because the day will get better as it progresses. So like I said, it's a choice. If you want to have a bad day, that's your choice. That means the whole day is bad for you. For me, nah. I'm having a bad moment. Maybe I got a bad phone call or something happened. It's only a bad moment. I'm going to make it only a bad moment, because things will get better throughout the day.
So what I like about that is that, number one, you narrow it down to a small amount of time. So instead of writing off the whole day, you're like, it's this small moment of time. And it gives you the optionality and the opportunity for the day to get better as you go, right? So I can see that that's really important. But I also can see that what you're saying in there is that you have the power to decide how your day is going to go, as you opposed to an external circumstance coming. That's good. How do you do that?
100%. You got the power, because something's good is going to happen throughout the day. The whole day, you can't get 10 bad things. Maybe one thing happened or something happened. Okay. You know, for me, I just dust it off. Okay. I'll take care of it, because I'm strong enough mentally. I'll tell you, I mentioned the word resilient. Just be resilient, because you never know. If you got kids, your kids might call, you start laughing, you might have a smile on your face, you know, your husband, whatever, anything good can happen. Okay. You know, throughout the day, not everything bad is going to happen.
But also, if you could find start to look for opportunities for things that are positive, you're more likely to see them. It's when you're looking for things that are pretty shit, and you're going to see them if that's what you're looking for. So it's important to create that balance.
Right. And, you know, I talk about negativity a lot. You know, if anyone's negative around you, you got to get them out of your life.
Run.
You got to get them out of your life, because they're only going to, you know, make you have, like you said, a bad day. For me, you know, there are people, you know, they're not in my life, but there are people who I do talk to that are negative. But I know that talking to them is only for 5 minutes, and it's on the phone because I'm doing business with them. They're not in my house. I don't sit with them. So negative people, I cut out of my life 100%, negative people.
So you use this, like, because I'm thinking when you're saying this, that you wanted to be a professional baseball player, right?
That's correct. Yeah, I was really talented. I was a talented guy.
And it didn't happen, though.
No, it didn't happen.
That must have been a huge setback.
Yeah. A lot of things, like in my other book, Belonging to Yourself. It's a memoir about my life. You know, growing up, single family, you know, my mother's raising, you know, us kids, you know, on her own. My father, he was out there somewhere, I don't know. You know, I played baseball. I won big trophies. I, Every time it was a trophy night, like, you know, all the parents was like, you know, they would ask me, where's your parents? Where's your mom? Where's your dad? And then, you know, I would lie as a little kid. Oh, no, they're working. Or no, they have something to do. Meantime, I got this big trophy I'm going home with, you know, 300 people without the, you know, these award nights, you know, stuff like that. Huh?
They never came?
No, they never came. Not once to it. Any of my awards, they never came.
Why?
They were doing their thing, you know. They were just doing their thing. I confronted both of them when I got older and, you know, going through their divorce. You know, my father's doing his thing. My mother's doing her. They can make excuses of whether they were telling me the truth or not. But I go back to acceptance. I have to accept that that's what happened. Is it their fault that I didn't become a professional baseball player? No. I'm going to take responsibility for that. I consider myself a warrior. And the definition of a warrior is a man that takes responsible for things that he's not responsible for. So it was my responsibility to become a professional baseball player, not theirs. Even though I do know that, you know, most of these professional baseball players, their parents always was active with their kids.
Yeah.
I do know that.
I do love this phrase that I invented earlier this year, and I swear by it at the moment. Right. And it's like, what if everything was your responsibility, but nothing was your fault?
Hmm.
What it does is it enables you to kind of hang on to the, okay, it's not me about me, but it takes away the negativity of the guilt and the shame and the regret, because the emotion of the fault doesn't help you in any way to move forward. But if you take responsibility, I'm always saying to people, the one thing you can change is inside you. You can't change someone else. So you have to make 100%. What the hell's going on over there and work on what's going on in here, right?
100%.
So I'm going to go for a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about what you've done with those learnings.
Okay.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Okay, so we're back. You've taken those, you know, the setbacks and the disappointments that you've had, and you've used them to start to help other people, which I am a huge fan of. When we got divorced, I had three very small kids and we ended up without anywhere to live. And one of the things in that space was that that I made a commitment to give a certain amount of money and time for the rest of my life to charities or causes. And I've never stopped doing that from that 18 years ago to this day. We do the same thing. And I have always found helping other people to be one of the most self-affirming things that anyone can do. So I'd love to hear your take on it.
So in my case, I became a leader. I was a leader all my life. I never followed my friends, you know, whether they did drugs or they went out drinking. You know, me, I was always in the gym. I was always doing positive things, exercise. So as a leader in my business, I helped a lot of people. I put a lot of people to work. I made sure their families were taken care of. And the reason for it is because it used to uplift me. It changed me as a person. So, you know, people would come to me, ask me for help. You know, I find out what kind of help do you need. What it does is when we're born in this life, you know, we're born to help ourselves first. But we're actually born to help thy neighbor, you know, help your family if you can. You know, most people can. You know, you don't have to help them financially. You can help them in other ways. Just talk to them. Have a good, positive conversation with them. So, yeah, so we're born here just to help one another. And, you know, that's one of the reasons we're on this podcast. Anyone can absorb a couple of things that we talk about. Maybe I did help somebody. Maybe you did help somebody. And you know what? That's gratitude right there. That's gratitude.
Yeah, completely. You do a lot of that work in the coaching that you do of baseball teams, right? You actually go and coach younger
kids. Yeah. I was a coach. Now I'm a coach, just people who have adversities, people, they need someone to talk to. They don't need a psychiatrist, so they talk to me. They read my books. They see what I've been through, and they say, wait, maybe I should talk to Chris. Maybe he can help me. Like I said, I'm semi-retired. I've been in construction for 45 years of my life. I own a business back in New York. I'm in Clearwater, Florida now, enjoying the beach. And so that's what I do. I help people.
And how do you find, you gain from helping people?
It just makes me feel right. It makes me feel like maybe I took somebody that was off their path.
Yeah.
And I put them back on their path just by talking to me. Mm-hmm. You can have one conversation with a real positive person, and that can change your life in itself. That can change your life and go, wow, if that person could do it, I could do it, and that's the way it goes. And I feel good, I feel good now. I'm on your podcast. I feel good talking, because I want to help people.
Yeah. And what happens with the people that you don't help? Because I think it's important to know that you can't help everybody, because there is a place where people have to be able, you can inspire someone, right? But you can't make them do anything else. So how do you find that line?
That's their choice.
Yeah, because that can be heartbreaking until you.
No, that's their choice. If they wanna talk to me, but they don't want to change, or they don't want to, follow through what we talk about, that's their choice. That's not on me. And that's on you. That's not on me. I'm not responsible for that.
So what are you going to do in the next 15 years since you've done all this? And how many books have you written now?
I wrote 3 books, and I just started my 4th book.
What's that on?
My past life as a dog.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's an interesting story. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Okay, so what are you going to do in the next 15? You're going to write book 4.
Yeah, I'm going to keep writing books. I'm going to keep coaching people. I'm going to try to live as long as I can for my wife. I love my wife dearly. She's my best friend. She's also healthy. She's same as me. And that's it. Just talk to people, and try to help them.
What is your definition of a life well lived?
The heart. When your heart feels good, that's well lived. When your heart feels good, isn't it?
And full.
Yeah. When your heart feels good, your heart talks, and your heart feels free. And freedom comes from forgiveness, all bitterness. You feel free once you can, forgive, just forgive. I have a lot of stories in my book, Belonging to Yourself. There's a lot of different stories that I went through in life, lost my best friend, he was murdered, lost my sister, different relationships, what happened in those relationships. So, I wrote about it because I'm going to help people. If you think your stories are bad, read other people's stories.
Yeah.
Your story won't even compare to other people's stories, probably. Or maybe they are. But guess what? At the end of the day, a story is a story. No matter how bad they are, you'll always can recover. Always. If you want to.
Good. I love that. Thank you very much for joining me. How do people find you? Where would they find you?
My website is healingwarriors.com. All the information is on my website. There's all kinds of supplements, all natural supplements on my website. So yeah, healingwarriors.com.
Amazing, Chris. Thank you very much for joining me. It was a pleasure to have you on.
I appreciate it too. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. My name is Geeta Sidhu Rob, and this was Activate Yourself. I'm hoping that you gained a little bit of that understanding of the clear focus and resilience that Chris has, which helps him to move forward every single day. Because I think one of the truest roots to any form of happiness in life is knowing what it is that you want for you. Because once you know with clarity what it is that you want, everything comes much, much faster and easier. So I'm looking forward to joining you again soon. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. Our goal was to give you pause, make you think about your life, and inspire you to say, wow, what if I tried to do that? If they can do it, so can I. Did it work? Let us know by finding us on social media at Gita Sidhu Rob or at Nosh Detox. We upload new shows every 2 weeks here. And if you start to miss us, check us out on YouTube.